بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. السلام عليكم everyone. My name is Mehreen.
And my name is Zainab.
And today,
we're your co-hosts.
We're here to bring the light to the questions that you have as young Muslims.
And how might we do that?
Well, by bringing various female speakers, some very well known, some that may surprise you, so that we can sit down over a table and talk about things that really matter. Today's topic is about finding your sisters in Islam, the power of female friendships as Muslimas, and the importance of lifting each other up in a world marked by division, argument, and comparison.
Today's guest is the most fashionable niqabi we've ever met. To many of us Muslim girls, she's a social media star, as well as a YouTuber and one of the biggest advocates for sisterhood. Please welcome Sister Fatima.
Assalamu alaikum, everybody.
Assalamualaikum.
Am I supposed to introduce myself at this point? Okay, alhamdulillah. So, as y'all can see, I'm a little bit awkward, but alhamdulillah. So as they mentioned, you know, I'm definitely a content creator. I live in Kansas City, Missouri, where there are quite a bit of, you know, Muslim women, Muslim, there's a, you know, a good sizable Muslim community here. I am the founder of Muslim Girls Doing Things, which is a nonprofit that exists to literally just build sisterhood for Muslim women 18 and up, to have safe spaces where we can come together, kiki, laugh, talk, learn new topics, learn how to swim, how to, you know, paint, different things, alhamdulillah. But yeah, I'm also a mother. I work in tech. It's a surprise for me too. Alhamdulillah, would not have made it here without Allah, because I was not good at math. I never scored well in any of my math classes, honestly.
That's crazy.
I cannot relate. Honestly, I was the opposite. I liked maths, and I turned out to be someone who hates it. So I don't know how you can go from not liking maths to a woman in tech.
Relatable for sure. I think there's like a misconception though, you know, like with math, like that you have to be good at it, you know, to enter a field where it's the skills are a little bit required. But alhamdulillah, like I said, I would not have made it here without Allah.
Oh, that's crazy, because I didn't like math from the start, and to this day, I still don't like math. So I don't know about you guys.
It's an amazing balance, or a mix of things to see in your the way you describe yourself. You know, at one side you describe maths, and you know, I'm in tech, and the other side you describe this very creative side of you, where you are doing things out there for the Muslim community, for sisterhood. You know, classes where you guys are painting and going out and bonding. How did you transition or get to that stage where you went out there and formed this little nest of sisterhood that we can really see, especially on your social media page? How did, you know, the tech Fatima transition to sisterhood Fatima?
that's actually a really good question. Honestly, I always grew up around women in my life. I'm the oldest of eight, and most of my siblings are girls. and I think like from a very young age, I was comfortable, you know, being around women. But, you know, working in tech is like the complete opposite, because most of the people are men. And so I think once I had graduated college and been in the industry, you know, for a few years, I realized that like a lot of the friends that I had were from different masjid groups, you know, in the city and stuff. And so I was at a halakha one day, and my friend put together, you know, one of those cute little like speed dating events for Muslim girls. But the questions were like really cute and like relatable, like what was your worst hijab phase, or what is one thing you can do to get closer to Allah? And I remember in the middle of it thinking, oh my gosh, like we need to recreate this feeling, this atmosphere, we need to recreate it. And I don't know, I think it's like I get it from my mom. She came here, you know, from Somalia at a really young age. Like she had me when she was 14, and when she came to America, she had like this go-getter personality. Like if she wanted something, she would just do it. She wouldn't think, oh, like, is there a place that exists for this? Like she would create those things, create those places. If she wanted to learn a new hobby, she would just do it. And so alhamdulillah, I think one of the better characteristics I've inherited from my mom is that just like there's no such thing as a no in my head. Alhamdulillah. And so you know, like I mentioned, the halakha that was happening in the event, it was a good thing that like I had friends who were putting that together, and we were already so close-knit that when Muslim girls doing things became a thing, like it was just, it became so, it was so natural. It almost felt like this is like what Allah wants us to do next. So yeah, and it's so wild though, because like I remember when I was younger, even though I had always been around women, I felt like I couldn't keep close friends outside of my sisters. And I don't know, I just remember making dua to Allah one day and like, Ya Allah, like I want to be one of those girls who's a girl's girl. Like I want to be able to, you know, have friends like who are, you know, women outside of my family. And alhamdulillah, one thing about Allah is if you ask him for something, he's going to give it to you, inshallah, maybe in this dunya. And it just, that's how it worked out for me.
Alhamdulillah, looks like you had a long journey with sisterhood, and it just started from a random halaqah that you attended one day. Just looking at the way you value sisterhood, what qualities do you value most in sisterhood, and how has it shaped you as a person?
Qualities that I value, I think for sure, is like making the space for people to just be human, you know? And because I think at the end of the day, like even if we say that we don't want to judge people, like there's, you know, the little thoughts in the back of your head that sometimes might come up front. But one of the things that I know that I look for when I'm like, whether it's like new friendships that I want to make or just like a sisterhood that I want to partake in building, is making spaces where everyone feels that like they're welcome. Even if you're a person who hasn't even reverted, but you're thinking about reverting, and you come and you don't have a hijab and you have tattoos, like I like knowing that you're not, like those people are not going to be treated differently, you know what I mean? And I think that's really important just as a Muslim in general, like whether we're talking about sisterhood or just like relationships, right? Like giving people the space to just be human and recognizing that everyone has the capacity to grow. Everyone has the capacity to become better. Everyone has the capacity to be someone that Allah looks upon as like a close friend of his, and be a representative of Allah on this earth, is one of the main qualities. And then another quality I think is just like honesty. And I think it really plays, you know, with the first quality, giving people the space to be themselves, but also recognizing like when it comes to honesty, knowing that you can be honest. Like I love having friends who are honest with themselves. Like, you know, I have this flaw, but it's okay. Like I can work on it. Or, you know, I just love being friends with people who know themselves. 'Cause, and I say this all the time, the relationships that we have in our lives are just mirrors for us. You know, sometimes you have an interaction with somebody and like you learn more about yourself from the way that you might react to that person. Like I remember there was times in my life where I don't know, like I was being judgmental towards someone, and then I'm like, hold up, like I do the same thing. Like what? Like, and so when someone is honest with themselves, they can be honest to you and they can be a good friend to you. So yeah, I think for sure those two.
Yeah, no, that's nice. I know that for me, I also think about that, like, if I'm dodging someone, I'm like, if we're in the same boat, I can't really do that. But you were talking about how you struggle to have friends outside your sisters and people that are different or quote unquote a bit different from you. Do you think it's okay to have female friends that are not in the same faith as you? So, like, non-Muslim female friends. Do you think you should limit yourself to only like Muslim friendships?
I'm gonna stir the pot and say, I think you can have any kind of friend, but I think there's different kinds of friends. I think we have to normalize like having different kinds of friendships with people. 'Cause like, for example, there's some friends who I have who are not Muslim at all, but like there's boundaries that I establish between me and them. Like I wouldn't go to them and ask them for like life advice, or but I might go to them and ask them for financial advice. You get what I'm saying? 'Cause I think like there's this misconception, I guess, that friendships can only exist within a certain definition. And I think a lot of times that impacts like the kind of relationships that we can have with people. Because like, for example, when it comes to being friends with someone who's a Muslim, like you are on the same page most of the time about like what your life goals are, right? Like we want to go to Jannah. We want to be with Allah one day, inshallah. Because we know this is not going to be our final place. And so there's a certain depth a friendship that you can have with someone who is a Muslim versus someone who is not. And I think that's okay to acknowledge, because I think it does a little bit of disservice to the people that we have in our lives who might not be Muslim at all. And that's also even like for people who are reverts, who have family members who like are not like, what are, you know what I mean? Like, are they just supposed to cut them off? Like, no, like they probably have really deep relationships with them, but it might not be the same as someone who is Muslim. So to answer your question, yeah, I think you can be friends with someone who is not sharing the same faith as you, but it's just there's some boundaries that you just have to be very clear with yourself, even if you're not communicating those specific boundaries with them. As long as you have those boundaries within yourself and you know like what kind of friend that person is to you, what is the thing that brings you guys together, you know what I mean? Because sometimes people have like friendships that are of convenience because they're in the same path in life. Maybe you're a college student and you have a friend who is not Muslim, but you are the only two girls in a engineering class. Like you are gonna develop friendship, and I think that's something that we have to acknowledge that. You know, like it's okay to have a certain level of friendship with people who are not Muslim, as long as like you have your boundaries, inshallah. And you know, boundary setting is something that doesn't always come easy to folks, and it's something that I think like takes a lot of work. Even I'm trying to figure out how do I set boundaries with people in my life. But you know, like that's I think we have to tie in the topic of boundary though when it comes to setting friendships with people who are not Muslim. Because oftentimes it's like there's a gavel that is like slammed, like, no, you can't be friends with anyone who's Muslim. But like, what word do I use to describe this relationship that I have with this person who we're like pretty close? Like, what do I, like, you know what I mean?
No, I know. It's quite hard to establish something sometimes because not everyone's in the same circumstance as you. But do you think your deen can be skewed or affected if you don't always have that kind of Muslim relationship in the picture, even if you don't have other Muslim relationships?
Oh, for sure. I definitely think so. I know from experience, like, yo, Allah, I gotta be careful how I say this. Like, I remember when I was in college, I had friendships with folks, and I was in college. I graduated in 2019, so you can do the math. But when I was in college, like, I went through a phase in time where I didn't know what friendship meant to me. And to me, it was like this blanket word that you use to describe, like, people who are really close to you. And anyone who I started talking to, like, I felt like I didn't know that, like I didn't know that I could have a spectrum of friends with people. And so my personal deen started being impacted. And it's like very like, you know, subconscious things that happen in the conversations with the people that you know, communicate with, and things that, you know, over time you end up changing your opinions about stuff very subtly. First, it's like, okay, I'm sharing a Facebook post about this thing, or you know, liking this Facebook post or Instagram post about this topic that like ain't even really Islamic. And then over time it can become more and more like, I would say worse than that. And so, yeah, I definitely think like having friendships with people, especially if they're very deep relationships, you know, very deep friendships with people, and not establishing that boundary, and they're not, you know, sharing the same faith as you as well, that can definitely affect you. Even the Prophet said, like, you essentially are who your friends are, right? Like, you know who someone is because of the friends that they have. Like, it ain't for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, and I know, I'm sure everybody can think of examples where they've started being friends with people and they started being affected. Like, dang, hold up, this is not me. Like, this is somebody else. But yeah, I think it requires a lot of reflection and asking and being intentional when you're entering like a new relationship with someone too. Like, what kind of friend do I think this person can be to me, and what kind of friend can I be to them?
I guess it's just about having more meaningful friendships and not just mindlessly becoming friends with everyone for convenience sake. I guess we're really, really lonely in today's world as well. You know, everyone's so isolated and everyone's so much in need of that bonding and connection with someone that they really tend to compromise on those basic foundations, or what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is that you are on the deen of your friend. So I just like to, you know, would like to emphasize your point of be more mindful with who you become friends with. Moving on to the next question. In today's world, we are heavily online and see many versions of female friendships, some seeming more appealing than others. Do you think the versions of sisterhood portrayed within the Muslim community is healthy?
I think it really depends on how you train your algorithm. Because, like, on my side of the internet, alhamdulillah, like, I just see positive stuff. Like, I'll have people talk to me and be like, oh, did you see XYZ drama? I'm like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. But I think it really depends too, like, on whatever we decide to consume and how we, like, really build our algorithms. Because the answer is yes and no, depending on what it is that you find interesting, right? Because, like, there's good and there's bad out there, regardless of how we perceive things. Like, you know, you could be like watching videos of like drama or whatever, or like, you know, friends like no longer talking to each other, breaking up, and like not going about that in a way that is like, you know, necessarily like Islamic or merciful to one another. And you know, the more you indulge in that kind of content, the more you're gonna see that. But as far as like in general, honestly, I want to see more positivity when it comes to Muslim friendships, because I think that's also like one of the reasons why we were like, okay, let's make Muslim girls doing things a thing, and like talking about it and sharing online, like what we're doing, whether it's like, you know, the Modesty Pantry or like the retreats that we have or whatever, like whatever events we have, because we just weren't seeing enough of the positive aspects of what it could look like to be a good friend, especially as a Muslim woman, right? And so I'm trying to tiptoe this line of like acknowledging that there are not good examples, but there are very much good examples, alhamdulillah.
I guess from my personal experience, if I was talking from like a observer's point of view, I really want to get to the point of actually there's so much good or portrayal of Muslim sisterhood out there that I guess even if a non-Muslim was to check out that space, they would want that sisterhood. And I guess just looking on social media, just looking at the way sisterhood can really shape your life in a healthy way and bring you close to Allah has also played a role in my personal life, or has inspired me to seek that friendship. But not everyone is in that space of where they can go and attend events or halakas and, you know, go meet people out there. Some people actually are very isolated or may not live in a very Muslim area. And it can really limit them or the access they have to the sisterhood out there.
I remember in one of your videos, I saw something about you talking about online friendships. Do you think online friendships can work or really be maintained in an online, in Islamic sisterhood for those of them who are isolated? Because I know there are many people out there who consider like, oh, I'll be okay without it. Like, you know, I've got me. Do you think that's enough? And do you think online can really combat that?
Yeah, if you could see me smiling under my niqab, well, you know I'm smiling. I don't know if you can tell, but yes, the answer is yes. Like, two of my best friends don't even, I ain't even seen them in real life. I just see them online on like FaceTime or like maybe they make content. And honestly, like, distance will only be a barrier if you allow it to be a barrier. And I'm gonna say that one more time. Distance will be a barrier if you allow it to be a barrier because I have like one of my best friends, she lives in Jamaica. We bonded over like a tweet one day that I made and she replied back to me. And we've been best friends ever since. Another friend I have lives in Texas. Another one lives in Louisiana. And it's like, even though we live further apart, it's filled the desire for like wholesome and fulfilling Muslim women friendship for me, alhamdulillah. And I don't think that it should be a deterrent for anyone else. I do recognize though, you know, some people might not be, they might not know how to go about making new friends. And I think that's something nobody really teaches you. Like nobody teaches you, okay, like this is how you make friendship. But I definitely think, you know, like if someone is like feeling like they're lacking that support system, or maybe they're feeling lonely or whatever it is, isolated, which I think especially nowadays, like people can learn so much about Islam online, for example, and they can become Muslim and they might not know any Muslim person in their entire town, let alone like, you know, the people that they meet online. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like shoot your shot. Shoot your shot with people. You haven't seen them.
Honestly, is it?
Is it safe online? I think you really gotta play it by ear because it could be safe or it might not be safe. For me, the people that I've befriended online, they're content creators themselves. So I'm like, okay, you know, I've done, you know, like I see you in different places. I see you going live. I see you doing this and that. And the chances of them not being real, and I go on FaceTime with them, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I have this like mental checklist of things that I'm like crossing off, like, yeah, you're a real person. I think it's unsafe when, you know, you've developed a relationship with someone and there's no like sense of like, you know, you like you haven't looked into their background or confirmed, okay, is this like actually even a woman? Is it a, you know what I mean? Like it could be an AI bot, you never know. But that's where you got to do your due diligence, right? And really look into people's backgrounds and stuff. Cause I definitely think it can be safe and you can develop amazing friendships with people online. It's just about taking like the proper steps, you know, to make sure that you're befriending people who are actually people and like the people that you want to reach and not just someone who's like, I don't know. Because, you know, not everybody's nice out there. Some people actually have like bad intentions.
I think what it really requires from someone is, you know, that exposure. Not everyone has that, especially if you are in your early, you know, teenage years. I'm sure there's parents won't give you that permission to really be on that online space and reach out. But I think for more mature audience, you know, someone that's over 18 or in the early adult years has a bit more independence, looking for that female friendship, reverts. So for those people, I think it online place can be a very good place to make friends as long as you're being safe. And from what I can hear, Sister Fatima, you've had a lot of positive experiences with your female friendships. But have you ever had any negative exposure within your female friendships? And how has that exposure in those circumstances altered you as a person?
Yeah, to be honest, I think all my relationships impact me. Online, not online, you know, like in real life, whatever. I've had some stuff happen. Like I remember, alhamdulillah, like this is more so like very, very early on in my life. Like now the kind of friendships that I've cultivated, alhamdulillah, is like we're able to get past, you know, any potential conflicts in general, because conflicts are very normal, you know, part of relationships and stuff. But I've had friendships, you know, where like there was jealousy involved. It could be me, could be the other side, right? Like I've had times where I was not a good friend to people. And I think like, especially when I'm the one who's in the wrong, I'm like, girl, you got some work to do. But when it comes to like other people who have been in the wrong towards me, you know, I think like over time, I've acknowledged the fact that it's okay to, number one, like have certain kinds of conflicts, right? Because you don't want to be in a relationship with someone, like a friendship, when you just keep constantly having conflicts that can be toxic. But I've acknowledged the fact that conflicts are normal every so often. And, you know, a part of having good and healthy relationships with people is like being able to know how to work through those things. And honestly, being married has taught me a lot about that. Like being married has taught me a lot about being a good friend. Because my husband and I basically grew up together. Like we got married when I was 19 and I'm 28 now. But, you know, yeah, like acknowledging that it's also okay to like grow out of friendships too. And being okay with, even if it hurts, like in my heart, in my soft, soft heart that ends up feeling pain really deeply, that it's okay to stop being friends with people. Like, and that's something that, you know, I'm really happy that our generation is talking about it more and more often online, you know, like that it's okay to break out of friendships. And honestly, it hasn't prevented me from starting new friendships with people or anything like that, because like I know that everyone's different. Not like no one's going to be the exact same. I might have an issue with one person that might not happen with anyone else. And as far as like, you know, how it's impacted me personally, yeah, I think they just mirrors. I think I said earlier, you know, the relationships you have in your lives are really mirrors. Like maybe you react to someone in a certain way that kind of lets you know, okay, maybe I should be a little bit more patient. Or maybe someone does something to you and it lets you know, okay, like maybe this is not the friendship for me, because, you know, this thing that happened between me and them is not something that I'm willing to tolerate. But yeah, alhamdulillah, I think like overall though, like the kind of friendships I have in my life now, we get over things pretty quickly. It doesn't take me long to apologize to people when I have issues with them. Like, alhamdulillah, and I think that's helped a little bit, you know, especially if I'm in the wrong, because I recognize that situations might not always be like, an issue might not always be the other person's fault. Sometimes it could be you and you just might not realize it. But yeah, alhamdulillah, I think they've just definitely made me more like self-aware, the struggles and, you know, the conflicts I might have with my friends. One thing I will say though is a deal breaker is gossiping and lying. I don't do that. One thing I'm like, yeah, I'm not tolerating that, because I feel like with that is there's a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of internal work that needs to, like, you know.
No, I think it's really, really like something that people need to recognize, that it's okay to grow out of friendships, because as your friendship grows, you also grow, and then you come to terms with things that you didn't even know that you might recognize, or maybe your views change because, you know, of certain conflicts, or like they bring up ideals that you're like, wait, I don't actually agree with that, or I don't, you know, this, that. But I think recently you said a quote, and it was, your worth doesn't come from material success or physical appearance. It was already given to you by Allah. Now, knowing this, as you have probably said this before, do you think cultural and societal expectations can shape sisterhood? And do you think it has any like heavy implications on the Islamic version of sisterhood and, you know, everyday society's version?
I definitely agree. You know, when we make dua to Allah to like teach us certain things or like bring us closer to him or forgive us, like he's doing that through those interactions that you have with people in your life. So, alhamdulillah.
I think some things can be like a lesson in life or a blessing in life. You know, if it's not a blessing, if it's not a female friendship in this context, which you have gained well from, it can become a lesson for you on how to become a better friend or how to look out for better friends in the future.
Oh, 100%. So I think I mentioned to you a little bit, like, my family's Somali, and we're like from a very specific like sub-ethnic group called the Mbravanese people. And they have a saying in my language, and it's menza nichirenza. It basically means your friends are razors. And honestly, like, you know, I kind of mentioned to y'all earlier, like from a very young age, like I was already surrounded by sisterhood, but I really struggled with like having friendship outside of my own family. And maybe you guys might relate to this too, I don't know, but this idea, this concept of menza nichirenza basically means like, you know, your friends are gonna cut you. So basically don't have friends. And so I remember hearing this from a very, very young age. And so like I think like I just developed, you know, this concept in my mind that I can't be friends with people outside of my family, or like I would have to tiptoe like this line, you know, to make sure that like I can, yeah, just have meaningful relationships with folks, or not even mean. I don't even think I even thought that I could have meaning. But yeah, you know, like growing up Somali, like, and especially like, you know, with this idea being put into my head that like my family and my siblings could be my best friends, and I wouldn't be ever actually be able to have meaningful relationships outside of that, really heavily affected me. And I think it affects a lot more people than we probably realize, because people don't really talk about it much, especially like, you know, like with people who have who've been raised with parents who've been through trauma, and like, you know, they everyone and everything they knew like essentially broke their trust back home, and then they come and they immigrate to a whole new country and they're building their lives there, and there's already like this sense of distrust. It can be really easy to, you know, like take whatever it is that we learned growing up and almost like subconsciously apply it to the new relationships, you know, that we have in our lives, whether it's like in college or whatever, later on in life. And so yeah, that was something I had to work through a lot, like this idea that I could trust people like outside of my family, because I think a lot of times like it's a coping mechanism for parents who've been through trauma to be like, you know, like your best friends, you can't have friends outside of the family, like whether it's like, you know, not allowing kids to go. And this happens even till this day. I hear stories of people who like they're like, yeah, I'm not like I couldn't sleep over anyone's house growing up. And alhamdulillah, you know, like a lot of times that, you know, that's justifiable, because you know, you never know people who people are unless you're living with them. And when you're sleeping over someone's house, it's kind of like you're living with them. But yeah, there's a lot of like, yeah, I don't know what y'all's backgrounds are, but there's for me growing, it was crazy, y'all. Like I literally, like 10-year-old me would not believe that I have the friendships that I have today, and that they could be so fulfilling, so nurturing, so nourishing, like Islamically, in terms of dunya, you know what I mean? Like, alhamdulillah.
No, I can agree. I think Mehreen and I both come from quite big families, and I think we can both agree that our parents do relay that, like, immigrant parent behavior, like that personal trauma being like, in a protective manner for their kids, obviously. But, it does affect us to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, I think that sibling, the thing you said about like your friends being your only siblings, I mean, what? Your siblings being your only friends. Sorry, my bad. But I can see that to a certain extent. Because at the end of the day, my siblings, I could hate them to their guts, but they're still my siblings. Like, my sister's still gonna be like, this person to me over anybody else, So I think that's really important. But either way, now let's have some fun. We are gonna do a round of rapid fire questions. Now, I want the first thing that comes to your mind, shortest answer you can give me. We're gonna do about 10 questions.
Be overdressed or underdressed?
Underdressed.
Are you high maintenance or low maintenance?
I think I'm low maintenance, but low key, I'm high maintenance.
In a couple sentences, what inspired you to become the most fashionable niqabi out there?
Oh, you're so sweet. I don't know if that's I don't I can't I don't know if I could take that title, but I think that the clothes that I have and like my ability for expression is like a way that I want to appreciate Allah. And so yeah.
What is your favorite prophet story?
Oh, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's literally the goat, literally the best, like the goat for real.
All right, down to the real business. Name a piece of Australian slang.
Mate.
Mate. I was just about to say mate. All right. If you ever came to Australia, inshallah you do, what's the first thing you would do? Or first thing you wanna do?
I wanna see the kangaroos. You know, I watched a movie called Kangaroo Jack. I don't know if it's
That concludes our podcast with you. Thank you so much for coming. We really appreciate you coming all the way from the US.
accurate. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate you all.
Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.